But look there in the book of Acts, if you will, and in Acts chapter 13. You know, normally I read quite a bit of scripture verse, all that kind of stuff before I preach, but I've only got one verse today. But I think we ought to look at it and analyze it, and I think it, if we have our hearts open, the Holy Spirit will speak to us today. Acts chapter 13 and verse 36, it says, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption." Father, thank you for the blessings you've given us today. We're thankful for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for the fellowship we've had and our friends, Lord, that we've made and our new friends. And Lord, I pray that you'll be in everything that's said and done today, that'll all be of honor and glory to you, Lord. We'll not do one thing or say one thing that'll not be pleasing to you. Lord, I pray if there's one here that doesn't know you today, Lord, I pray that they'll come to know you the way that we know you. And Lord, I pray that we'll allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts as Christians and allow him to guide us and direct us and show us where we need to improve in some areas. Forgive us for our many sins, our many shortcomings, for all these ask in thy Son's blessed and holy name. Look at that verse again. It says, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers, and he saw corruption." We see here it's talking directly to David and saying that he served his own generation. He won or witnessed, if you will, to his generation. You see, there's going to be a time that the Lord expects us to step up to the plate and tell others about Jesus. Amen. It comes regularly. And we've just got to have our eyes open, our spiritual eyes open, and look for those chances and those opportunities. And I don't know about you, there's been many times that I didn't tell somebody about the Lord, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me about that later on, and I felt bad about that. But we need to look for those opportunities to tell somebody about Jesus. It says, "And he saw corruption." Even though he'd served the Lord all those years, he saw corruption. Now, first of all, I think as a child of God, we've got to establish in our hearts and our lives just exactly what corruption is. What's bad? What's good? What can we do? What shouldn't we do? What is good? What is bad? And I think that's part of the problem in America today is that we've done away with what should be the deciding factor about what's good and bad in our lives, and that's the Word of God. Somebody say amen. Now, don't get quiet on me because I go twice as long if you get quiet. I don't think you understood me, and I repeat myself, and it takes twice as long to preach a message. So say amen. We'll be eating soon, amen. But the Word of God, in the life of the child of God, the Word of God should establish what is right and what is wrong in our lives, what we should do and what we shouldn't do. There was a time in the history of our country when our forefathers sought the face of God when they needed to make a decision. They prayed about it and let God be the deciding factor in what was right and what was wrong, what they should do and what they shouldn't do. I think we need to get back to some of those principles in this country. I think we need to get back to letting the Word of God dictate to us what's right and wrong. And there's things that I run across in my life that I think is okay, but then I study the Word of God about it, and I find out God's not necessarily wanting me to go that direction or pleased with that, and I have to say yes, sir. Amen. You say yes, sir, and you go ahead and do what the Word of God says. Amen. But anyhow, I want to look at some things here, and I entitled this "Preparing to Serve Your Generation." You see, God is preparing us to serve our generation. For the biggest part, the people that I get to witness to and talk to about the Lord is going to be close to my age, similar to my generation. And I'm going to tell you what, preacher, there's going to come a time when you and I can't do what we're doing now. We're not going to be able to serve the Lord and do the things that we're doing now. And I believe God is calling a younger generation to come along behind us and pick up the mantle and reach their generation. Amen. And it's the same. We see the same thing on the mission field. Missionaries go over to the mission field, and they like to win a national and groom him and train him to take the churches there and to take up that ministry and keep going with it. Why? Because a national will win a lot more people to the Lord than we ever will, than that missionary ever will. So the goal is to win that national and get him in place there and let him reach his generation, his people. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so we see the same thing taking place here, that God has called us, and by the way, God's called all of us as a Christian. Amen. You're called to reach your generation. So planning to serve your generation in a wicked world. By the way, the corruption's always been there. Right and wrong. God has not changed his mind about what's right and what's wrong. The corruption part of it is still there, still in place. And when we are gone, the corruption will still be there. But God still called us to go and reach as many people as we can for Him. Isn't it good? Amen. So I've got some things I want you to look at. If you're taking notes, like I said, I've only got 16 points. But nobody said amen. Nothing. But there it is again. But I keep asking for that, don't I, brother? But yeah, God's, look here. Number one, I want you to say God's choosing. God has chosen you even before you were saved. I believe God had a plan for you. I believe God planned on you coming, and He knows the beginning to the end. He knows the future. He knows the past. And God planned for you to get saved and for you to go and witness to your generation. So we see God's choosing. As a matter of fact, I believe from the moment you get saved, even before that, that God has a specific ministry in mind for you. And you may think, Brother Dave, what's my ministry? What is God calling me to do? What does He want me to do? Well, God's not going to call all of us to the mission field. He's not going to call all of us to travel and evangelism and to pastor. But God's got a mission field in mind for you somewhere. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? And you may think, well, where's my mission field right now? Your mission field right now is to witness to those who you come in contact with, whether it be at work or at school, whoever you're around every day. That is your mission field till God tells you otherwise. You understand what I'm saying? So God has chosen us to all be missionaries, if you will. Now, when you first get saved, obviously the first thing that is on the docket for you to do is be scripturally baptized into a local New Testament church. That's first and foremost. But so we need to get in that part of our Christian walk, we need to get the basics out of the way, if you will. Not out of the way, but start doing them. We need to start doing the basics, and that involves things like tithing, supporting missions, loving some people. I mean, some are harder than others. Yeah, learning to love people and walk a spiritual life and be what God wants us to be. Now and there's so many Christians have been saved for many years, but yet they have not gotten the basics taken care of yet. Yeah, and then go back to the basics and start doing the things that God wants us to do. But you know, God has called us all to a mission field to tell somebody about the Lord. And by the way, no one field is greater than the other field. Let me run that by you again. No one ministry is greater than the other as long as we're all doing what God's called us to do. It's doing what God wants you to do and serving in the ministry that He wants you to serve in. So it's very, very important that we realize that God wants us and has commanded us to go and to tell others about Jesus. By the way, that's not an option in the eyes of God. Did you know that it's impossible to be a New Testament church and not be soul conscious? Did you know it's impossible to be a New Testament church and not be missions minded? We must be concerned about lost people dying and going to hell. That's very, very important. The week before that, our son and daughter-in-law came to see us, and our oldest son and daughter-in-law, and they have been preparing to go to the mission field for the last few years. Went to Bible college and finished up there, and they've been raising their support, and they just left. Was that Thursday or Friday? And so we probably won't see them for several years. And we've got grandbabies that'll probably be born on the mission field. But you know what? When Troy was just a baby, we walked down the aisle and we dedicated him back to God. We said, God, whatever you want him to do, wherever you want him to go, you use him however you see fit. And you know what? God's called him to North Africa to be a missionary. Thank God for it. Amen. By the way, that's the greatest thing we can do is just do what God's told us to do, where He calls us. And we spoke about that a little bit in the Sunday school hour. But then we see God's anointing. God's anointing. Now, in the scriptures, now due to time, I won't get into this, but 1 Samuel chapter 16, 10 through 12, if you want to write that down, we see where Samuel went to Jesse, because Samuel was discouraged because he had been a good friend with Saul, and the Lord had already told him that he doesn't want Saul to keep being the king, that Saul's days were numbered, if you will. And he was kind of discouraged, and he said, well, listen, why don't you go see Jesse and talk to him and check his sons out. He said, I've got something in store for you there. And so they didn't want him to come into the town because wherever that old man went and preached, well, things happened, and they didn't like that. And they said, well, what are you coming here for? Are you coming here to cause problems? He said, no, I'm just coming to see Jesse. So he went to the town there, and he told Jesse, he said, let me see your sons. Well, he called all seven of his sons in, and they lined them up, and he checked him out and said, no, you're not the one. Next one came up and said, no, you're not the one. You're not the one. And after a little while, when he got to the end of it, he said, do you have any other sons? He said, well, I've got one little scrawny lad out there in the field who's keeping the sheep. So not much to him, just a little scrawny lad. He said, well, bring him in here. I want to see him. So he called him in, and the Bible says that he was ruddy. Now, I don't know how in the world that you, and I've heard preachers preach that he was redheaded. I've never seen a redheaded Jew myself. So I don't know if ruddy means he's redheaded or not. But the Bible says that he was a good-looking lad. And he came in and he was handsome. He was a good-looking fella. And the Lord spoke to Samuel. So Samuel, and he said, listen, he's the one. He's the one that I have chosen. And Samuel took out his horn of oil and he put it on him and he anointed him to be the next king. And we see God's anointing here. God's moving. By the way, this is all interesting stuff. This is great stuff in the Sunday school hour to be preaching and teaching on. And God spoke to him and said, listen, he is the one. And, you know, David didn't go directly to the throne. He might have thought, well, man, Saul, I don't really like that guy. He's really not doing that good of a job. He might have thought, well, I'm going to go over there and just bump him off since I've been anointed as the next king. I'm going to take care of him, and I'm going to step in there, and I'm going to show them how to run this kingdom. No, he didn't do that. What did he do? He went right back to the meadow, right back to the field where he'd been all along, because he knew that God's timing was not right just yet. Somebody say amen. You follow me? It wasn't God's timing just yet, and he knew that he needed to go to the field for some training. He needed to go to the field for his hard knocks education, if you will. So here we see God's timing. By the way, God's timing is always perfect. God's timing is always perfect. Every time I think about God's perfect timing, I think about the COVID stuff and the things that we went through and how it affected us. And the Lord was really good to us. Well, I mean, we took off a couple of months when it first hit, but we've been wide open ever since. Until not this past December, the December before that, Debney got COVID out in Texas. And we had to come home, cancel a couple of weeks, come home to quarantine. But, you know, God's timing, like I said, is always perfect because it just so happened the 2 weeks that we had to quarantine was the last 2 weeks of deer season. Now, so we spent our quarantine in the woods, amen. I named my blind quarantine, amen. So God's timing is always perfect, and God don't make any mistakes in these areas. And by the way, the world tells you, young people, listen to me, the world tells you that whatever you want, you can have it now.
That's right.
Yeah, I run across young people all the time. They want now what it took me a lifetime to get. The world says, hey, you want this new car? If you sign, you sign the paper and do this, and it's yours. You want this house? You can do this. But that doesn't always make it God's will.
Right.
You see God's leadership and God's face and everything. God doesn't want you to overextend yourself.
Amen.
Now, that's another message within itself as well. But God's timing is always perfect. We don't always get things instantly. And by the way, some Christians have to spend more time in the field than others do. Did you know that? Some Christians have to stay there quite often. Some of us are hard-headed. Yeah, let's might as well say amen. Some of us are hard-headed. And it takes longer for God to groom us for the ministry that he wants us to go to. Your ministry now is serving and working in the church, but I believe there's probably somebody here today that God's speaking to about serving in another capacity.
Amen.
It's very possible. And so God's going to train us, and he wants to groom us, and there's a time of training. And that's my next point. Look at God's training. God's training. He went to the field and to the meadows, and you know the story about how the lion came out and he grabbed him by the mane and he slew that lion, and the bear came out and he slew him with a rock and he killed him because he came after and got one of his lambs and he was running off with that lamb and he slew those beasts. And there's a time of training right there, and sometimes that training is not easy. By the way, you're going to see the beast come out when you start serving the Lord. The beasts show up, and we see God's training in these areas. And you know, I look back on my time at Bible college preacher. Debbie and I learned there were 39 different ways to cook a potato. Yeah, there's 65 different ways to cook pinto beans. You know, times were lean, times were tough, and it got rough. But you know what? Those were some of the best days of our lives. Man, we look back on those times, preacher, it was tough and it was lean. We had to rely on the Lord, but God always supplied our need.
Amen.
He always took care of us. And those were some of the sweetest days of our Christian walk and our married life. It really was. And we've been married now for 37 years. It's amazing that God can allow somebody to put up with me for 37 years. I know you can say amen right there if you want to. But God's training in great days. And then we see God's delivering. We see God's delivering. We remember the story about David, how he went and there was a giant in the middle there, and the Philistines were on the other side of the hill, and God's people were on one side there, and the giant was had been cursing God for days and days, and demanding that they send somebody down to fight with him. And I remember the story about how David's job, he had one job, and that was to deliver the corn and the bread while they were doing the battle. Now, in the South, we don't do corn and bread. We do cornbread. Amen. I'm going to southernize this story just a little bit. He was delivering the cornbread. And you know, if you really won't get down to it, if you had some pinto beans and a Vidalia onion, that'd have been just right. Amen. But he delivers the food to him, and he sees a giant down there, and he's cursing, and he's making fun of him, and he's demanding that they send out their champion. And David says, why are y'all allowing this to happen? Why are you allowing this guy to curse God and to make fun of us and to do all this kind of stuff? So I'm going to take care of him. I'll take him on. And, of course, the king says, well, you're just a little scrawny lad. What can you do? He said, well, I'll tell you what, a bear and a lion saw what a little scrawny lad could do. And when God's on his side, said, I'm going to take that rascal on. I'm going to defeat him. He can't talk about our God like that. He said, well, what do you need? He said, well, I just need 5 smooth stones. He went to the creek, and he got 5 smooth stones. And now, I don't know if this is true or not, but I've heard preachers say over the years, the reason why he got 5 stones instead of just 1 is because the giant had brothers in the background. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. They're probably greater theologians than I am, but it sounds good, amen? But maybe he did have brothers back here. But he put that stone in the sling, and he swung that thing around, and he hit that rascal right in the forehead, and down he came. We see in the scriptures where Saul got discouraged. The Bible says he had a troublesome heart. And he told his servants, he said, go find me somebody to play music for me. Go find somebody that'll sing for me. And they looked around and they found David. And they said, we found this guy, man, he's a good-looking lad. Boy, he can sing like he's been eating bird seed. He can play that instrument. Boy, you ought to hear him sing. You ought to hear him play. He does a great job. And the king said, well, let's hire him on. So he brought him on. He said, you're a pretty good guy. I like you. And I just envision, if you asked David what his job was during that time in his life, he'd probably say, man, it's boring. I sing the same songs all day long to an audience of one. I sing stupid songs to a stupid king. It's boring. Now, friends, let me tell you something. Your time of preparations, you're going to face the lions and you're going to face the bears. You're going to have hard times. You're going to have boring times when it seems like things are just not moving along like you want them to move along. There's going to be hardships, going to be things come along. But let me tell you something, these are all part of your training. This is part of your process. And you may be going through a valley today, hard times, things you don't understand. But God's running you through those valleys and allowing that to happen in your life for a reason. Because down the road somewhere, he'll use that for his honor and his glory, that you can witness and be an inspiration and a blessing to somebody else. Somebody say amen. That's good stuff. So here we see God's training, and it's a very special time. Then we see God's delivering, and God's going to deliver us from those through all that. Amen? He's going to be with us. He's not going to allow it not to happen or tell it not to happen. He's just going to be with us through those hard times. He said he would be with us during that. And then we see where David got older, and he became a warrior. You remember how the Bible says that the people were talking how Saul had killed his thousands, but David had killed his tens of thousands. And Saul became very jealous of David. And we see in the scriptures where he tried to kill him several times. One time he threw a spear at him and he missed. And David went into hiding. And several times David could have taken the sword out, and at any given time he could have killed Saul and ended it all. But the timing was not right. It was not time. God was still grooming him. He could have ended that at any time. So God's going to deliver us through all this. And even through all those times, David still showed the utmost respect for Saul, in spite of him trying to kill him. We need to respect and honor the man of God. Somebody say amen. I believe that. And then we see God's enabling. See, you reach that point in your life where God says, okay, now I want you to go into the ministry that I really want you to go into. He's been training you and he's been grooming you through all this time while you're in the field and while you're in the meadows and allowed you to go through those hard times, those lean times, but great times to get to where he really wants you to get. Now, where he really wants you to get may be something as simple as driving a bus for church. Amen. Maybe as simple as teaching a Sunday school class. And I have people all the time say, I don't feel like I could teach a Sunday school class. Well, you know what? God will enable you.
Amen.
God will enable you. You want to give your preacher a heart attack? You ask him if he's got any jobs for you to do. Amen? But there's a job for somebody. Your ministry might be right here. But your ministry also might be on the foreign mission field. It might be pastoring a church somewhere. It might be just being a soul winner in your church.
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
See, but God's going to enable you for whatever ministry it is that he's given you. And you're not going to have a great following. Not always going to have a great following. And there's a lot of preparation. What you see us doing up here with the instruments and the things and the singing, that didn't just happen. I have been doing this for 52 years now. And you know what? It's taken a long, long time to get to do what we have to do and what we can do here. And God has groomed us along the way. I see his hand and his moving and everything we do. And you're not going to always have the biggest following. We see here that David didn't have the biggest following either necessarily. Of all the 12 tribes, he only had two tribes that linked up and followed him. And you may go pastor a church somewhere. Maybe God's will. And you may pastor the first neglected Baptist church. And you think, God, what have you done? What have you done to me? But God's with you through all those times, those hard times. There's some place he wants you to serve. It's very, very important. And you know, if David had gone directly from the field to the throne, he would have messed up. He was not ready. He was not prepared. He had not gone through the schooling and the training that God wanted him to go through. So my point is, be patient. Be patient with God. He's got something big in store for you. Just follow him. Serve him to your fullest capacity right where you're at right now. Let's look at that verse one more time. It says, for David, keep in mind, your ministry is not somebody else's ministry. You hear what I'm saying? He has a specific ministry just for you. After he had served his own generation, after he had served God and won people to the Lord and served the Lord, by the will of God, it's God's will that we all serve him. That we be what he wants us to be. Fell asleep and was laid to his fathers. He got rest. And he saw corruption. Friend, the corruption is going to always be there. That's why we're here. That's why we're serving. That's why we're trying to see people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. So my point is, are you still trying to do all you can to prepare yourself for the ministry that God's got in store for you? You know, That's how your church started, because God had laid this on your pastor's heart to start this church here. And I promise you, he just didn't decide one day that was going to happen. There was a time of preparation leading up to this, leading up to the start of this ministry here. And God prepared him for this ministry. And you know what? God's going to be preparing the next pastor to come along. God's got a man in store for you already. I believe it. Now, do we know who he is? We don't have any idea, preacher. But there's going to be come a time when I can't travel and do what I'm doing. There's going to come a time when your pastor can't do what he's doing. But you know what? God's work still goes on. God's word will still go on. Somebody say amen. And you know what? God's got great things in store for us. I believe that. But you know what? The greatest thing in store for us is getting on out of this place and getting to see the Lord. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful blessing.